أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين السلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي ومعدن الرحمة وخزان العلم ومنتهى الحلم. Okay, last week we elaborated a little bit on both the concept of salam and also the meaning of Ahlul Bayt, of the prophets. Now, of course, what comes in this ziyara afterwards is an explanation, a description of Ahlul Bayt, who Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet are. As we said, this is not only a kin relationship. Of course, kin relationship has got something to do with it when we come to the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salam, as it is mentioned in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِ مَنْ نُبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابِ. We put Nubuwwah and Kitab in the progeny, in the descendants of Ibrahim and Nuh. So, it is important, but other things should be added to it. As for example, although Allah says we put Nubuwwah and Kitab in the progeny of Nuh, however, He talks about the son of Nuh in that way that he is not from your Ahlul Bayt, not from those who would inherit this knowledge. So what follows is actually a description of Ahlul Bayt, and it as well can serve as a description of our belief about our Imams alayhi salam. So we started with Assalamu alaykum ya Ahla Bayt al-Nubuwwah wa mawza'a al-Risalah, and the place in which Risalah comes down, the falling place for Risalah, for messengership. Now of course we know that Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet were not messengers. Why it is mentioned here that you are the place of Risalah, of messengership? Mawdah, of course, is a place where something is put, from wada'a, mawdah. And Risalah is, of course, the mission which Allah gives to some of His servants. So, we call them here the place in which the mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not the mission of Imama, of course, the mission of Risalah is placed. Now, why do we say this, and do we believe that they have such a status, our A'imma alayhi salam would have such a status as we call the place in which the mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Risala, is put? Now of course this doesn't mean that they were Rasul. They categorically denied this, that they had anything to do with messengership. The messenger, the Rasul, was the Prophet, peace be on him. However, we have to think a little bit about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses a person for his mission. Certainly, there is a shortlisting here, and this is very, very important. Usually, we people think that Allah precariously, just like a lottery by chance, nominates one of his servants and say, okay, I give messengership to him. He should carry my mission, I give him my favors and everything. Well, certainly we know this is not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses a group of people, and from among those people again chooses another group, and from among them again chooses. It's just a method of shortlisting, so to speak, people according to their merits, until we come to the last nominee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which of course He appoints as His messenger. Therefore, not everyone is shortlisted or could be shortlisted for messengership. It is not possible. It's only a certain group of people. Now, you remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam was given that good news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said, "Inni ja'aluka lin-nasi imama." Allah tried Ibrahim with certain trials, and after fa'atammahun, he completed them, he succeeded. "Qala inni ja'aluka lin-nasi imama." I'm going to put you as an imam, leader for you. Now, the first thing that Ibrahim wanted, all of us wanted, isn't it? Even if we are not good people, we want our children to be good. We want them to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing that Ibrahim asked is, "What about my children, my progeny?" "Qala wa man dhurriyyati." "Give this favor to my children as well." This is a great favor. Ibrahim actually realized. Ibrahim never was going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that give my children wealth, for example. Because in his eyes, these things were very trivial. But this imama was something which was so precious in his eyes that as soon as he was given the good tidings, he said, "Qala wa man dhurriyyati," "and my progeny, what about them?" Now, we see how Allah argues here. "Qala la yanalu ahad al-zalimin." Your children, okay. We have in other places of the Quran that وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِمَ النُّبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابِ. I put نبوة and كتاب in the progeny of Ibrahim and Nuh. But here he says, لَا يَنَالُ أَحْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Zalimin are not going to receive this act from me, this act of imamah, this pledge of imamah. Therefore, it is not possible for someone who is related to Ibrahim even to receive this pledge of imamah. Only special people who are not zalim. Now, okay, we come here. This is a very, very important issue. Who is not zalim? Who is not wrongdoer? Allah says that wrongdoers are deprived of this faith. So, لا ينال أحد الظالم. Therefore, well, most of us are out, because most of us are zalim. We either oppress our own selves or oppress others. If we are very good, we only oppress ourselves. Otherwise, we oppress others. We do wrong towards others. Therefore, a person who is going to be shortlisted for this mission of Risala, here we are talking about Mawda al-Risala, should be someone who never, as Ibrahim argues with his people, he says, فَأَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنَ أَحَقُّ بِالْأَمْنِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Who deserves the security from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Security, of course, means everything. When you are secure by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, evil would not come to you, punishment would not come to you, mistake, sin, anything. Now, here Ibrahim says, فَأَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنَ أَحَقُّ بِالْأَمْنِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Then he asked, those who believe, وَلَمْ يَلْبَسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. And they would not mix or cover their faith with any wrong. بِظُلْمٍ, this is nakara, of course, in the context of negation, means never, ever they commit any wrongdoing. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ وَمُفْلِحُونَ عَزُمُسُونَ. I think it's muhtadun. They are those who have found the way. Allah has guided them. So, these are the people who are shortlisted. And from among these people, Allah chooses His prophets. Now, for these people, there is a special name in the Quran. You know that in the Quran, people are divided not in two categories of mu'min and kafir, but into three categories. Mu'min, kafir, and as-sabiqoon, who are al-muqarrabin. So, we have three different ranks of people. We have al-kafirun, who are enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mu'minun, who of course have believed in God subhanahu wa ta'ala. And muqarrabun, who Allah draws them near himself, because of course they are not zalim, because Allah dislikes oppression. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. If Allah dislikes you, He keeps you. away from himself. Well, how could he draw you near while he hates you, while he doesn't like you? So, if Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ, it means ظَالِمِينَ are not going to be drawn near. Therefore, مُقَرَّبُون, who are drawn near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are those people who never commit any zulm. If they commit a zulm, Allah will, just like Iblis, قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا or اِحْبِطْ مِنْهَا فَلَيْسَ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا. Now, this place, my vicinity, is not a place that you commit such a sin. You are polluting everything in this place of oaths and sanctity. Go away. Okay, Iblis was driven away because of that zulm. Because the zulm that he did against his own self. Now, therefore, Muqarrabun are those people who are brought near, and the meaning of going near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means you receive more and more favors. That's the meaning of it. Of course, Allah is here now. We are very close to Him. We are not close to Him, He is close to us. Okay? And when He draws us near, it means that He bestows more favor, more knowledge, more love, and all these things would come to our hearts. That's the meaning of Muqarrabun, and they are called Awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala befriends with them because they are not polluted, because they deserve it. Of course, the extent of the intimacy of Allah with His friends is different. With some people He's just friends, some people are just acquaintances. Allah just knows them. By salamu alaykum, as we know someone just visiting them, salam, we say salamu alaykum and pass by. It is just that with someone we are very close, very intimate. Now, the relationship of Allah with Ibrahim, as he said, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Khalil means very, very intimate, close friend. This is the meaning of Khalil. Allah took Ibrahim as His very close friend. Now, it's interesting, it doesn't say that وَاتَّخَذَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ اللَّهَ خَلِيلًا. Ibrahim took Allah as his close friend. Because it sounds more logical, isn't it? Ibrahim should take Allah as his close friend. Because it's Ibrahim who is in need of that intimacy. Now it comes from the other side. Because this friendship only works when Allah takes you as a friend. Otherwise you cannot do it on your own volition. He should take you, He should choose you for friendship. And that's why it says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah chose Ibrahim as His very, very intimate close friend. So, when you are the incarnation of those things which Allah loves, and you keep away from whatever that Allah hates, then Allah draws you near. You go near Him. He takes you. These are Muqarrab. Of course, in Surah Waqa'a we read, إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقَعَ, when the Waqa'a happens, لَيْسَ لِوَقْعَتَهَا كَاذِبَةٌ خَافِضَةٌ رَافِعَةٌ. Until it says, وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثَةً. On that day you are of three groups. فَأَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. These are those who are brought near. So they are different from mu'minun on that day. Okay? Now, these muqarrabun, of course, have the favor of Allah. This is the meaning of going near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we ask every day in our prayer, if we are, of course, thoughtful of what we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us to the right path. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the path of those whom you have guided, on whom you have bestowed your favor, غير المغضوب عليهم. So we want to be guided to the path of on those on whom Allah has bestowed favor. These are Muharram. We call for that guidance of them. Now, if you say guide us, please, to the right path, what is the right path? You tell me, what is the right path? Of course, the Quran says, وَعَنَأْبُدُونِ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Worship me, this is the right path. But how? How should we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the correct way of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Therefore, we are given a clue. Siratul Mustaqim is the sirat of those upon whom you have bestowed your favor. Now, in Surah Nisa, verse 69, it's because this is a very famous verse, I remember the number and the place in the chapter. It says, وَمَنْ يُتَأَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ Whoever follows Allah and the Messenger. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ They will be with those, not from those. You never can be from those people. Because they have attained it themselves. You cannot go in Jannah and wish that Allah give their place to you, their station. It's not possible. But you can be with them. You can see them. Whoever follows Allah and the Prophets, they will be with those upon whom Allah has bestowed His favor. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ From among the Prophets. وَالصَّدِّيقِينَ And Siddiqeen, the most truthful. وَالشُّهَدَاءَ Witnesses. Of course, this doesn't mean martyrs, witnesses, which we will discuss about it later on. This is a very, very deep concept mentioned in the Quran. وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا And they are very good companions. Okay? Now, these people, especially the second rank, Siddiqeen, they are the last shortlist of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Risalah. So Allah shortlists the Salihin and then the Shuhada and then the Siddiqeen from among them. And from among these Siddiqeen, He chooses one messenger for His mission, not from anyone else. And this is the place, this group of Siddiqeen, this is the place where Risalah is put. Now, any of these people could have been chosen as a messenger. Some of them have higher stations, say, than past messengers. We have this very famous hadith reported by Sunni and Shi'i. Both by Sunni and Shi'i. You can find it both in Sunni book and Shi'i book. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, علماء أمتي أفضل من أنبياء بني إسرائيل. The علماء, the knowledgeable of my ummah, they are more meritable. They are superior to the prophets of Bani Israel. Now, let's put Musa and Isa aside. Okay, they are very, very special prophets of Bani Israel. Although they are prophets of Bani Israel. But say Suleiman, Dawood, and others. Now, who are these ulama? Imam Sirki, Bukhari and Khulaini, or Ayatullah X and Shaykh Z, who are in them? They are afdal min anbiya bani Israel. It is fair to say such a thing. Do you ever think Prophet would say such a thing? I mean, anyone who is familiar with the literature of the Quran wouldn't ever say, that an alim who has gone to a school and studied a certain thing, say hadith, fiqh, or whatever, tafsir. But, well, they might do wrong, they make mistakes, sometimes they are close to God, sometimes they are far away. And ever you think that the Prophet will say, these are superior to Anbiya of Bani Israel, you have done injustice to the Prophets. It's not possible. So who are these ulama? Of course, our Imam said, نَحْنُ الْعُلَمَا It is us who are the ulama. And this is a certain type of knowledge, not the knowledge that you can go and learn in school. Okay, this is a different type of knowledge. It's knowledge which is bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, a siddiq or a siddiqah, they could be superior to other prophets. But okay, Allah only needs one prophet at any time. So He chooses the best of the Siddiqeen. But it doesn't mean that other Siddiqeen did not deserve it, or they were inferior to prophets that had passed before. Well, you might say, for example, if Ali ibn Abi Talib, who is a Siddiq, and if Sulaiman, who is a Siddiq, both of them are Siddiq. Okay. If they were living at the same time, okay, according to us, Allah would have chosen Ali ibn Abi Talib as the prophet, not Sulaiman. As we have the prophet and Ali ibn Abi Talib, Allah of course chooses the prophet because he's superior to Ali ibn Abi Talib. But suppose now Prophet Ali ibn Abi Talib are there and Sulaiman has passed away. You could say, yes, it is possible that Ali ibn Abi Talib is superior to Sulaiman in terms of closeness, intimacy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet reported by both Sunni and Shi'i, that ulama'u ummati afdalu min anbiya'i bani Israel. Okay, so these Siddiqeen are having the same station as the Prophet. And we have Siddiqat as well. We have Maryam, who is Siddiqa, mentioned in the Quran, and Fatima, peace be on her, who was Siddiqa as well. Of course, they are not chosen as prophets, but they had this knowledge. The Mawdu or Rasala, which is mentioned here, when we say, As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-Nubuwa, wa Mawdu al-Rasala, the place in which mission is put. It doesn't mean that you are given the mission, but it is among you, it is from among this list that Allah chooses someone to give him the mission. Well, this is a very hard thing, of course. It is neither against the Quran, it goes very smoothly with what the Prophet has said about ulama'ul ummah, and whatever the a'imma have said about themselves, that they had type of knowledge that the Prophet had, they inherited it from the Prophet. Of course, this inheritance of knowledge we will come to it later on. Okay, وَمُخْتَلَفَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, and the place of coming and going of the angels. A place which angels visit frequently. So, مَوْضَعَ الرَّسَالَ وَمُخْتَلَفَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Now, if someone comes to this level of Siddiq or Siddiqa, becomes one of those Siddiqeen which is mentioned in the Quran. Of course, if you ask a lay person, what does Shuhada and Salihin and Siddiqeen mean? They just might say, well, they are very good people. They are people more pious than each other. But Quran never uses these terms so loosely. Quran is a very technical book. In fact, if you go and carefully study the Quran, you will see that every word is chosen behind in other verses of the Quran, exactly according to a scientific type of explanation of what is going on in the spiritual world for the spiritual people. So, when we say Nabiyeen, Wasiddiqeen, Washuhada, Wasaliheen, after Nabiyeen, we just don't mean the ordinary pious people. And then we say, okay, anyone who has Iman, they are Siddiqun. No, it's not the case. Okay, now, angels. What we know is that angels usually go to prophets. They don't go to ordinary people. Not ordinary people, even to Siddiqeen, because revelation which comes through angels usually is received by the prophets, and it's only the prophets who would see the angels and who angels go and visit. Well, first of all, this type of opinion is violated by our status in the next world. In the next world, we are not prophets, but we are usually visited by angels, isn't it? Now, on the moment of death, Allah says, الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ. Okay, they see the angels, يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. The angels, although they take their souls, they see the angels and the angels address them with salam. يَقُولُونَ سَلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. And of course those who die ظَالِمِينَ وَالَّذِينَ فَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who are, whose souls are taken by angels while they were wrongdoers, the angels would speak to them. قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ. They say, what were you doing in your life? قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Okay, this is the ayah we are not going to discuss. So the moment we die, we become مُخْتَلَفُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels come and speak to us, go. And especially when we go to Jannah, that is where the Malaika come to visit us. Not only to bless us, but if I say, of course I have proof for it, but this is not the place where I have to mention it, I can mention it. Not only to bless us, but to receive blessings from us. That is why the angels come to us in Jannah. Not only to come and bless us. In fact, when we go to those high stations, it is actually the angels who would come and take blessings from this human being, human soul, who knows all the asma, and the angels don't know it, isn't it? وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. So, the angels don't know many things, while Adam knew everything. And when we go to Jannah, inshallah, we are those people who could bless the angels. And of course the angels, there's a very nice hadith in the hadith Mi'raj. It says that when the Prophet was moving up with Jibreel, when we say up, there is no up and down here, it was just a journey towards the deep understanding and contact with the Lord. Of course, to some extent it was physical, but after that it was just inward spiritual journey of Prophet coming to that Qaba Qawsayn aw Adna, a place where no human being can, human soul can ever reach. Now, in that hadith it is said that when they were moving, the Prophet saw an angel rushing somewhere, a very strange type of angel. And he asked Jibreel, who is this angel? Jibreel said, I don't know, I never have seen this. And he said, what's his name? Well, certainly he didn't know the name. He said, where is he rushing to? He said, I don't know. He said, how long is he traveling like this? He said, I don't know. He said, go and ask him. Jibreel said, no, I can't ask him, he's not going to answer me. You go and ask him. He is obliged to answer me. Now you see, this is the Prophet who asked the angels, the angels speak to the Prophet. Jibreel said, no, I cannot ask him. He is not going to answer. So the Prophet went and told him, what is your name? He said a name, I think as long as I remember, he said Karba'il, something like this. And he said, where are you heading to? He said, I don't know. I'm just moving. You see, it's just like us, isn't it? We don't know where. It's just a creation which is moving towards something. And we know the ending after we die. And that angel would know where is he going after the resurrection will come. And all the angels would know it. Don't think that all the angels know that what are they, why they are there at the moment, and why they are living, and why Allah has created them. No, they don't know. They will know when the day of judgment comes, when the bottom of this world appears. And when the name of Akhir of Allah comes to work, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالْظَاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ, when this comes to work, then they will know. So he said, where are you going? He said, how long have you been traveling? He said, I don't know. He said, how come you don't know? He said, because I don't have the counts of my life. But I know, some stars come into the sky every 1,000 years and they die down. I see the shine of them create every 1,000 years. And I have been traveling, since I have been traveling, I remember 6,000 of these stars flashing. each 1,000 years, isn't it? And I have been traveling this long, yet I don't know where am I going. Now, of course, he might have asked the Prophet, you tell me, where am I going? Now, what I wanted to say is that in Jannah, for sure in Jannah we know that angels every day come to be with us. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ Now, not only coming, they throng around us. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ The angels would come, enter them from every gate of their mansions in paradise. And while they come there, they just want to come and say salam and take the blessing. You see, I said when we go and say salam to a saint, to the shrine of an imam, we just want to take blessing and of course show our respect. They come and say salamun alaykum bima sabartum wa ni'ma uqbaddar. Isn't it? They say salamun alaykum. Well, you went to Asfal al-Safaleen, you came back safe. How lucky you are. And you were patient in that Asfal al-Safaleen. You were not deceived. You did not forget your Lord. Well, if the angels come into the life that we have, they might forget. They might be like us. And those of us who go safe, who go there safe, of course we deserve to be visited by those angels and coming and saying salam and everything, and they take blessings. Now, we have this hadith that the shrine of the Prophet, peace be upon him, or the shrine especially of Imam Hussein, the angels come, they take permission from Allah SWT to come and visit and say salam and go back. Why they want to do this? Because they want to take the blessing of the shrine. And of course they bless as well, because wherever the angels go, they bless. But they bless the visitors, they bless us, and they take blessing from the Imam, from the Prophet, peace be upon him, because the soul is so great. It is a soul in which all asma actually is deposited, which the angels didn't know about. Now, some people might say you are exaggerating about the status of the Prophets and Imams, but are we? Isn't it mentioned in the Quran? وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ Isn't it mentioned in the Quran that Allah says وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ Now what does this mean? Well, if we take things just superficially, and unfortunately many Muslim scholars and lay folks take these things very, very superficially. But what does this mean? Okay, Allah says the angels prostrate, they prostrated and they were said it was a test. No, it's not like this. Allah doesn't do things in vain. Why they should prostrate to Adam? And if to Adam, why not to our Prophet? Peace be upon him. If to Adam, why not to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam? Wasn't that prostration because Adam knew the names? Allama Adam al-Asma. And isn't it the case that our Prophet knows more about those Asma than Adam knows about? So they come to take blessings. Now, they are mukhtalaful malaika, where the angels come and go. Not only when they are dead, because we have that. And we have especially about Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that when he was there, 4,000 angels took permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go and visit. And then they took permission to remain there until the day of judgment. And they are still there. They don't want to leave, because of the strength of the blessing that they see around that big soul in the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They don't leave. And we have in many hadith that whoever goes and visits Imam Hussein alayhi salam, these angels would follow them, would see them off. See, for example, you go and visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you want to go back, these angels will see you off. And they remember you and your name, and send you salam. And whenever we have this hadith that whenever you become sick, become ill, they will come and visit you, because they say he came to visit them and send them salam. These angels, very, very loving angels actually, any friendly angel they are. And if a person who has visited them on St. Dodge, they go to their funeral to give blessings. Okay? So, this is Mukhtalaful Malaika. Now, this is the case when they die, but when they are alive as well, they are Mukhtalaful Malaika. Well, if the angels come to the Prophet in the same house as Fatima, peace be on her, was living, for example. And if Fatima is from the Siddiqin, is Mawdu' al-Rasala, is from the place where the mission is put and the messenger is chosen, then why should not they actually see the blessings of the angels? As for example, when angels went and visited Ibrahim, they spoke to Sarah as well. They said, Rahmatullah wa barakatuhu alaykum ahl al-bayt. So they are Mukhtalaful Malaika. And we have in many ahadith. Now in one hadith specifically about Fatima, peace be on her, we have that on the occasion of her marriage, the women asked her for perfume. And she gave them some perfume which was very, very fragrant, which no one knew what type of fragrance it was, or what type of perfume it was. And they asked her, she said, when the angels were coming to my father, they incarnated somehow to the tamassal, as they tamassala laha basharan sawiya, as the Jibra'il had a tamassal for Maryam, they came into this physical incarnation. And when they were leaving, some things were dropping from them. I took them. This is the thing that I have taken from these angels. And it was so fragrant. Well, it's mentioned in hadith, both Sunni and Shi'i books. And Imam Ja'far al-Sadr was saying that the angels would come and sit with us, around us, and we see them because of the greatness of that. So, of course, they are not Jibra'il. They don't bring a mission to them. But they are Mukhtalaful Malaika. Malaika would come and visit them and go. Would take permission to come and say salam and go. Especially those angels who live on the earth, of course. Because we have angels living on the earth, angels living in the sky, angels which are just around the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are very different types of angels. وَمَحْبِطَ الْوَاحِي. Of course, Wahi could only be descended to a place which could receive it. And this Ahlul Bayt, including the Prophet, is the descending place of revelation. This is where the revelation could be received. Otherwise, the revelation comes down to the earth. If there is no one to receive it, well, it would go back. Jibra'il would come to the earth. If there is no one to receive him, it is the importance of the soul of the Prophet who could receive message from the Jibra'il, who could receive revelation. And that's why the Prophet is very, very instrumental and important. As I said, it's not the case that Allah just say, okay, I choose you, I purify you, and I give you my message. No, there should be capacity, capability to receive. So, مَحْبِطَ الْوَحْدِ وَمَعْدِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And the origin, the mind, the very mind of mercy. Now, وَمَعْدِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ, the origin of mercy. Ma'dan is a mine where you take jewels or whatever other elements. So that's ma'dan. So you are a place from which rahmah can be taken. Now, rahmah, as you know, is something which is which could be referred to both the name Rahim and Rahman. Because Allah has two names, Rahim and Rahman, which do with rahmah. With one rahmah, He actually benefits the world from His all-encompassing mercy, provision and everything, and that's for both mu'min and kafir, for living things, animals, non-living things and everything. And the special rahmah which is related to the name Rahim, compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is only for mu'minun and which materialized in the form of guidance. Okay. Now, when we want guidance, where we have to go? Of course, it is those who have the guidance. And those who have the guidance are these people, certainly. Are the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt, who are the Siddiqun around him. And therefore, whoever seeks guidance, the Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this earth, he should go to them and take this mercy from them. This mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This doesn't come directly to us. Well, it is very clear in the case of the Prophet. Now, you want guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, you should receive it from Jibreel, isn't it? Now, where do you find Jibreel? You cannot find Jibreel. It's not possible. Jibreel brings rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It brings hudan wa shifa. Okay? But where do you find Jibreel? How can you locate him? None of us can do that. It is only within the Prophet that Jibreel descends, within his, to his soul, that Jibreel descends. And you have to take that rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending with Jibreel from the Prophet, from the knowledge which he descended to. And then, of course, from those who have inherited that knowledge. As I said, we will discuss about this inheritance later on. You have to receive it from those places. So the origin of Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of guidance are only these people. You can find it in these people, materialized in them. So, وَمَعْدَنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَخُزَّانَ الْعِلْمِ. Khuzan is someone who is actually in charge of treasury, of hazina, which is the treasury, the guard, the people in charge of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, of course, this ilm is a different type of ilm than we know. This ilm is the ilm which Allah taught to Adam alayhi salam, the name of the Asma. Now, the ilm of the Asma. What is this ilm of the Asma? Now, we know that we are taught that whatever you see in this world is an effect of the Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's actually a manifestation of His names. Unzur ila athar rahmatullah. Look at the outcome, at the effects of rahmatullah, athar rahmatullah in this earth. You might not see rahmatullah, but you see its athar, you see its effect, whatever you do. Now, when you do a scientific research, when you want to find out something, when you make an invention, what do? You explore into these athar rahmatullah. Okay, whatever we do. Because everything is created by Him, everything comes from Him. So whatever you explore, you invent, you find, is just a search into the athar of this asma. But from the bottom, we go from down, or actually horizontally, from the very bottom of the athar, we search for things. And we find it. We invent it. Okay? Especially one thing is very much mentioned in the Quran. I want to draw your attention to this. This is very important. The ship, Al-Fulk. If you look into the Quran and if you thoughtfully see these ayat which make a mention of ship, you will see that since this meme of travel was the highest technology of the time. It was the highest technology of the time. And it was very useful, of course. And Allah says, we have made this invention possible for you. You are doing this with the help of searching into our athar, of course. وَعَلَيْهَا وَعَلَى الْفُلْكَ تُحْمَلُونَ, for example. Look, the animals you use, the fork you use. And Allah has created this fork for you, this ship for you. how you have, of course, invented it, but by going through the Azhar of Rahmatullah. Now, you can expand this to outside, whatever you invent. Now, aeroplanes. Of course, it is more complicated, but we have invented it. It's just like the ship. Just like a huge ship which travels instead of on water, on air. Okay. Now, whatever is said in the Quran about ship, you just can extend it to aeroplanes. And that's why when we get on aeroplane, we say the same thing as Quran has advised us to say when we board on a ship. What is it in Surah Zukhruf? وَتَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. It talks about ships. That when you ride on a ship, you say سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا. Purified is the one who has controlled this for us, who has brought this under our control. And whenever you board a plane, you should say the same thing, because it is Allah who has brought this under your control. So our knowledge goes horizontally at the very bottom of these asma, at the Asar. Now, is it possible that now whatever we see in this world is the Asar of some names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As Allah says in Surah Hud, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ. Now, whatever you see on this earth, the treasury of it is in us. What does it mean? Does it mean that Allah has, say, for example, a warehouse in which millions of tons of iron, for example, are there? And then Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, and we descend this hadith from those treasuries down. Or for example, he has a very, very huge warehouse in which billions of human beings are there, and he creates them from that treasury down, and he sends it down. Or he says, he sent down for you the cattle. How did he send down the cattle? How does it work? Now, it means that those asma will descend and descend and descend and descend as you see it in this world. It comes to Ashabul Safirin and you see it in this world. But the treasury is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah could have created several thousand mountains of gold in this world so that no one would have vied for gold. Or could have created so much food in this world, which no one would have ever fought for their bread or worked for their bread. Everything could have been prepared. But Allah says, وَمَا نُنَزِّلُ وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ. The treasures of everything is in that. وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. We send it down with a certain measure. How if he just extends that measure a little bit? Oh God, we are in debt. So couldn't he just send a little bit more so that all of us would have been at ease? Not at this hardship. If the treasures are with you, so send a little bit more. Now, it says, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ. If Allah had expanded this rest for the Ibad, they would have done more injustice. Now they do injustice, but they would have done more, because they would have become more powerful. They would have become more knowledgeable. They would have become more sourceful. And then, of course, they would have done more injustice. لَبَقَوْا فِي الْعَرْضِ وَلَاكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَا يَشَاءُ. He sends us down just as according to a measure that he measures, he wants. Now, what's the meaning of sending down, as I said? It means that those asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which everything is a manifestation of them. Of course, it's a very complicated issue. Very complicated issue, and don't get confused by it. And if you do not feel comfortable with it, just forget. We are not obliged to know these things. Inshallah, when we go to the other world, we know everything. Don't worry. Not everything. We know reasonably well. Okay. At least we know where are we heading to. Now we don't know. like that angel, he didn't know where he was heading to. Now we don't know where he's heading to, but inshallah when we go to the other world, you know, don't hurry. We are just children now. We are learning the process of knowing. Now, as I said, if you don't feel comfortable with these notions and concepts, just forget about them. Because if you get confused about these things, then of course it's difficult to come to terms with our own faith. Now, if everything is a manifestation of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if someone knows that name, instead of searching into this very bottom place of manifestation, if someone knows the watershed, knows that name, what can they know from this world? What type of knowledge they have? They could do whatever they want, isn't it? Now, we have a very good medical system. We have advanced in medical treatments very much. But still we do not know how we have to raise a dead person. Isn't it? We don't still know. One day we might know. We don't know. By searching, going through these manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't know yet. But you see, Isa alayhi salam, he was actually getting the knowledge from the top, from the watershed. So it was easy for him to raise the dead. Or easy. Or, say for example, now we don't know. We know that if we want, for example, to transfer a very heavy package, a very heavy load, from say for example 150 tons from one place to another, we either use plane is not sufficient, we use ship and all these things. We have ships which can carry 100,000 tons of. But we don't know how to bring them without ships, isn't it? Just we wish they come and they come. We don't know. But say that person who was working under Sulaiman, قَالَ الَّذِي أَنْزَهُ أَلْمٌ مِنَ الْكِفَارِ. He had a little bit of that knowledge not from bottom going upwards, from down upwards, knowledge coming from up downwards. This is a different type of knowledge. And this is called a knowledge given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't do it by research. You are given it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone knows that, then of course, they can do such things. And it shouldn't be amazing, because human soul is a place where all knowledge of Asma'ullah is there. We think that we are small creatures. We are not. We are huge creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only problem with us is that we don't know ourselves. That's all. We don't know ourselves. We think that we are this body and thing. That's all. If we know ourselves, now, the point is, if we want to be, now you might say that why Allah has not made us aware of it? As for example, people like Ibrahim and Prophet and others who become aware of it. Why not us? Now I tell you, go and read the Quran. Quran is a knowledge sufficient, complete for everything. Anything, any matter related to guidance, to closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to find it in the Quran. But it is hidden underneath. It's written on the white margin, so to speak. Why I say this? Because it's only Allah who gives you that knowledge to realize what He's telling you in the Quran. And that needs sincerity, of course. However, it is there. But قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءٌ. For mu'minun, it is huda and shifa. It is guidance and treatment. For the disbelievers, it is misguidance, it is misfortune, it is blindness. Now, Isa alayhi salam said one thing which I like very much. This really shakes me. He said, if you have the amount of the weight of the seeds of mustard, which is very of faith in your heart, you could remove mountains with it. And that is little faith. Well, that should be a special type of faith. Now, Allah says the mu'minun will find shafa and khuda in this Quran. Why don't he find it? Why don't he find it? We have to blame us. We shouldn't, of course, blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, well, Allah, I'm a believer, so what are you saying? I don't find Qur'an and Shafa in this Qur'an. And I'm a believer. No, you have to go, we have to go to our heart and see whether that belief is really a belief. Whether this is something acceptable, whether it is working. Now, you might have a car, but that car might not have an engine. And you might say, I have a car, why I cannot move? Well, because there's no engine in the car. You might have faith, but there is something lacking in that faith. Therefore, you cannot. You will recite the Quran, you are bored. You become bored. Why we become bored when we recite the Quran? Why we are bored when we recite the Quran? Because something is lacking. The engine is not working. The engine of our faith is not working. And we just tire ourselves. Now, okay. So, why? That was the question which I said we can refer to Quran and find out. Why that pure soul which Allah has given to all of us? To all of us. Why it works for some people, it doesn't work for others? Why for Ibrahim it brings the knowledge of all Asma? And they become a reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an image, so to speak. Now, the Christians usually, when we go into interfaith sessions, the Christians say that there is something which is a matter of disagreement between Muslims and Christians, and that is we believe that Allah has created man after his own image, which is, of course, Jesus Christ and us. Well, us after Jesus Christ, which is God. Who is God in their own. And Muslims say, no, Allah has no image. No, Allah has an image, but that image is not a physical image. And we believe that, yes, Allah has created us after His own image. It means that our heart can completely reflect the Asma and His attributes. And that's the image. But of course, you can understand it in a very silly way, and you can understand it in a very nice way, as with every other sentence that we hear from the Quran or from any other scripture. Now, why? Why our souls are in this situation? Is Allah willing that we should be in this status? If He wants us to be like this, He doesn't. The point is, that soul which is the perfect, perfect image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should have all these names completely reflected in it. And one of those is, of course, volition, irada. Allah is willing, He wants. He yasha, isn't it? And we have to listen. Now, if we are that type of creature, then we can do whatever we want. And of course, we do injustice to us. Injustice to us, and we corrupt our own soul. Allah cannot prevent, because this is the image of Him. How should He prevent us? If He prevents us, then we are not reflecting His own image. However, there are some people like Ibrahim. Like Ibrahim, I mentioned because he's mentioned very much in the Quran, okay, because he's the hero of the Quran. Okay? There are some people like Ibrahim, that image is intact. Completely pure, no wrongdoing coming. He has the same volition, but he wills like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never will evil. And that's why then some of us would go to paradise, some of us would go to hell, because if we wish evil, of course Allah should drive us back. He wouldn't pollute His surroundings, of course. Of course He has created us with all that knowledge of Asma. Well, a place where knowledge of Asma could be put. Not that we have that knowledge at the moment, we don't have it. But we can have it. We can reflect it. But if we pollute ourselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala layaj'al al-khabitha ba'dahu ala ba'dan, He will put evil over evil, fayarakamahu, and He will compress it, fayaj'alahu fi jahannam, and put it in jahannam and close the door. That's it. Say that. Don't come near. Because now, of course, we do not receive it in this world. That's the selection. But if we are good, we are told, inshallah, in the Jannah, we would be like that. Inshallah, we would receive the blessings of our own soul. Now, we receive the blessings of our own souls, whether here or in Jannah. But here, there are lots of values, lots of objectives. Well, not objectives, actually. Lots of things which would bar those blessings to reach our hearts. But inshallah, in Jannah we would. So when we say خُضَّانُ الْعَلْمِ, it is a specific type of knowledge. They are the treasurers of that knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is something more to this, inshallah, next session. Not next week, I will not be here, inshallah, but the following week, inshallah, we will continue with this خُضَّانُ الْعَلْمِ وَسَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى
If anybody has any questions, please feel free.
Apart from the Surah Al-Azam prophets and the Risala, the Brawl, there will be clear evidence from them that they have now been chosen as prophets and spread the word of Allah. Those pious persons who were then in the lifetime of chosen as prophets, are there books or some kind of examples given as to what kind of evidence was given to these prophets and in them as what kind of evidence given to these pious persons and in them as prophets? As an example, how did they know that they are now been chosen as prophets?
How do prophets know?
Well, because initially, if I understand that they are not as prophets, but they are as pious persons.
Not pious, of course. Not ordinary pious. Yes, they are muqarrabun.
Yes. But then, during the lifetime, a certain phase, they come to know that they are now been chosen as prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So apart from the full other prophets, where they had received the revelation,
No, other prophets would receive revelation as well, but their revelation doesn't involve a mission like that mission which is given to Ulul Azm, of course. They would have a mission and they would expound the Sharia, but usually they follow the Sharia of the Ulul Azm. Okay? However, all prophets receive revelation. It's not only Ulul Azm who receive revelation. And the Rusul, those prophets with mission are not only confined to Ulul Azm. We have other Rusul who are not Ulul Azm. For example, we have in the Quran, وَاسْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. So if we have Ulul Azm مِنَ الرُّسُلِ, the Rusul who were Ulul Azm, it means that we have Rusul, messengers who were not Ulul Azm. Okay? And it means that they had revelation, they had mission, but that mission usually was a type of conveying the message of Ulul Azm to other people. And then we have prophets who were Nabi but were not Rasul. They didn't have any mission. They were just receiving revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they were not given a mission to go and say it to people. Okay, they were just like those who were receiving revelation for their own sake. We had from these prophets as well. So, how a prophet would know that they are receiving revelation or they are chosen? Well, they know that they are chosen because they receive revelation. And how they know that this revelation is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, in their world, of course, things are different. And what they experience is different from what we experience. And therefore, it's for them to realize when they are chosen as a prophet and when they are given revelation. Like, for example, our prophets,
Jibreel came to him and brought the message, and then of course he realized Jibreel, and he realized in his heart the proof for this, which of course we don't know how it works. It's only in that level that we can realize. No, of course it's paraphrased, because these people couldn't speak as eloquent as the Quran speaks. Certainly Allah paraphrases it in a nice way. Even if it was in Arabic, Allah would paraphrase it. And that's why you would see a quotation. The same quotation in the Quran is mentioned in two different types, two different sentences, for example, or two different expressions in two different places. And that's how Allah has actually chosen to paraphrase it according to the context. So yes, of course, not most of the prophets of, well, all the prophets of Banu Israel, they didn't speak Arabic, of course. They spoke either Hebrew or Aramaic or something like that. And it's all translation of what they said. No, certainly Malik has said this, but of course it is translated in Arabic.
He has a sense of what he meant.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Sheikh, you mentioned that the belief is that Ibrahim was Allah's friend, not the other way around.
Yeah, Habib, of course, is beloved, is something more than a friend. Yeah, because very intimate friend is different from someone who's really, really beloved by someone. Habib has this higher meaning of hope, and well, I don't think love is a good translation for hope, as it is mentioned in the Quran, but we have no other word for it. So it conveys it. Yeah. Yeah, a person might be mu'min. So repeat the question. Well, I didn't get the first part of your question. Sorry, if you repeat the first part of your question.
You mentioned that someone has a good, Allah will not bring him closer to him because
Allah doesn't have a good. Okay. So the question is, as I mentioned, if someone is zalim, does zulm and wrongdoing, Allah would never take him close. And we have in hadith that it happens that Allah loves a person and hates their action, or otherwise likes the action and hates the person. Now, of course, they do not contradict, because a mu'min is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Well, Allah likes mu'minun. And the mu'minun sometimes commit sins. And it doesn't mean that Allah, since He loves that mu'min, would love the sin that they commit as well. Okay. Now, of course, that mu'min who commits sin is not among the muqarrabun. Allah wouldn't draw them near Himself. They are mu'minun, but they are kept at bay, because of the zulm that they are doing. Unless if they repent and completely purify themselves, then they will become qualified to go to go near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course Allah hates kufr. And if a kafir does something good, for example, doing good to their parents, okay, Allah likes that action. But this kufr doesn't let this person to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that action. Therefore, I don't see any contradiction here. No, I don't know whether you mean something else in mind or... Okay. Okay? Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.